You'll bring forth your fruit and your season, your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, it will prosper. Man, that's a prosperity message right there. But he said, don't mess with the world. And don't get involved with the cares of this world, because you won't be prosperous. I don't care what kind of tree it is. If you put a constraining thing around it, it's going to conform to the constraint. And so the riches of this life, I'm here to tell you, it's not that God is against riches. That's not it at all. And I want to show you something. Riches is a byproduct of living for God. Whatsoever you do, you shall prosper. David and I was talking about, I get a lot of my thoughts from David. I just don't tell everybody, but he and I talk about church a lot. And we were talking about this little passage of scripture, and he brought this to my attention, and it's so true. That when the Lord looked at the rich man, he told him, see, this is a sinner man, right? He's come to Jesus, wants to know about eternal life and all this. He's a sinner man. And so the Lord tells him, he said, I want you, and he said he was very rich. He said, sell all you got and give it to the poor. And he couldn't do it. He walked away sorrowfully. And the answer that David showed me in that was that it's because the world gave him his riches. And not the Lord. Because if the Lord makes you prosperous and makes you rich when you didn't have anything, and then he starts blessing you because you're living for him, and you're like that tree that, boy, you just keep. And then the Lord says, sell all you got to live you poor. You say, how big you want me to write that check, God? Because I didn't have it anyway. I didn't have nothing anyhow. I remember when I didn't have anything, so how big you want me to write that check? Who you want me to help? Who you want me to bless? That's the difference right there, and I've never really seen it. It's where the prosperity comes from. If God makes you prosperous, you got no problem giving it up, paying your tithes, giving in the offering, helping the widows, or whatever you need to do. But if you got prosperous off the world, I'm telling you, I got a lot of prosperous people that I work with that got it in the world. They don't pay tithes. They don't help nobody, not even the Girl Scouts. Nobody but them. And so this deceivableness of riches, Proverbs 10 and 22 backs this up. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. That man walked away, how? Sorrowfully. But when the Lord makes you rich and makes you wealthy, in any way, whatever it is, doesn't always have to be money, he adds no sorrow to it. Oh, that's good stuff right there. We have to realize it is him that gives us the health to even get the wealth. You wouldn't have a job if you didn't have health. Hallelujah. So it's not the riches, it's really the deceivable riches, just like it's not the money, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Now let's look real quick at the pleasures of this life, because this is a major stranglehold on many, many Christians. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. In fact, David said he brought me into a large place and a place where there's pleasures forevermore. And he talked about pleasures a lot. So, but when you get consumed with pleasure, then you know what? You don't want to sacrifice any of your time. Because it's all about fun. It's all about you. And it's all about pleasure. And if we're not careful, listen, parents, I wish I had every parent here. You're strangling your own children. Got to go here. They're having ball here. And they're having this over here. And they're having that over there. And they don't go to church. And you're strangling your own children. It's not that I'm against ball. It's not that I'm against these things. But what happens when it takes the place when they could hear the word of the Lord that can change their lives forever. Oh, no, we got T-ball tonight. You're strangling them. You understand that? I'm not mad, I'm just telling you. You get involved with the pleasures of this life, and what does it do? You're trying to grow, right? Let me take it back. It doesn't do this, it's that you don't grow. You're trying to do this, it just stays here. There'll always be T-ball. There'll always be a game. There'll always be a rodeo. There'll always be this. There'll always be that. It's always there. It's always been there. The pleasures have been there. That's what got Eve. That's what got her. So as we try to grow in God, these things are fixed. It's us. You see? Woo, my Lord. choked by pleasure, always trying to please somebody else, always trying to have pleasure with somebody. And what happens is you never grow and bring fruit into perfection. So there are these three things, cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, that strangle a Christian's life to the point that they want to give up. They think it's not worth living for God. Come harvest time, look, Lord, I got fruit. And he says, I can't use that. That's not edible. Then there are those that endure to the harvest, those that fall on the good fruit. See, this was progressive, right? Wayside, quick, rocks, a little longer. Then we have those that fell among the thorns, and they made the distance. They were there when Jesus came. But they died in faith. But where's the fruit? It's like the lady said with Wendy's, where's the beef? You gonna serve me a hamburger? Where's the beef? If you're gonna live for God, where's the fruit? And so this seed falls upon the good ground. It not only goes the distance, but it has fruit that the master desires. This seed fell upon a good heart and an honest heart. If you're not honest with yourself, no need to talk to me or anybody else. You need to talk to yourself. You need to talk to yourself and say, you know what? He's talking to me tonight. I am too involved with this, this, and this. And it is stopping me from being what I need to be in God. And I realize now I'm strangling somebody else too, along with myself. Be honest with yourself. And then he goes to this. This is what really intrigued me. He goes from talking about seed. How many of you know the word of the Lord is also a light? David said, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light into my path. The word of the Lord is light. Light sprang up in a dark place. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word, you know, and it became a light. So no man, this is back to the 16th verse, Luke 8 and 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. I wish I'd had time to get a candle. I would have lit it and set it right here. We'd have turned the lights out. And then I would have choked the light. It's still on, but you don't get. So it's the same principle. A flashlight, reason it's a beam is because the light is choked. It's choked. It's reflected out in one direction. So if you don't, you know, if you got the flashlight, you're in good shape. But if you don't have the flashlight, it's bad news. You're stumbling and falling. So he said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, chokes it. He doesn't put a vessel over it. He don't put it under his bed where nobody can see it, but he setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Wow. God gave you a light that others might see the light. Don't choke it. You can surround the light with so many things, the cares of this life, back to those same three things. People don't see the light in you. They don't see the light because you're at the same place as they're at. And you're saying the same things they say. And we choke the light. To where I still got it. You see, it's still on under the bed. It's still on with the vessel. It didn't say it went out. But no perfection. No witness. For nothing is secret. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be made known or come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, or given more, like the talents. And whosoever hath not, to him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have, like the one who had the one talent. Because he wanted perfection. He wanted you to work toward being a better Christian. And if we conceal the light of God from others, then what happens is God takes the light you have. He said, what good is that light if you hide it? That's what the man did with the one talent. He hid it. He said, what good did it do? Give me that, and let me give it to the one who's going to do something with it. And so I'll close with this tonight. I've been choked in places I've been and used that for my excuse. I went certain places and they choked me and I felt like hindered my walk and set me back. And I blamed that why I didn't grow. And I realized that it was me. It was me. Because if you want to grow, nobody can hinder you. I'm telling you, nobody can hinder you. Nobody can stop you from growing. Nobody can make you not pray. Nobody can take you away from the Bible. Paul said, who shall separate me for the love of Christ? Shall temptation, shall peril, shall nakedness, shall all these things? He said, no, nothing shall separate me for the love of Christ. And I realized that I was letting other people choke me when I needed to free myself of the people that were choking me. Hallelujah. I like it when people come to God and they get out their cell phone and they go delete all. These folks were choking me. I'll never live for God with these people in my life. Delete all. I'm starting over. Can we pray this weekend? Can we get in a Bible study? I need somebody in church who's going to support me and not people that want to choke me. Some people strangle even newborn babes that come into the church. They want them perfect as soon as they're born. And people in the church choke the babies. They hadn't even had time to understand what they got, let alone, you know, a baby when they're born, they don't know they're alive. They don't even know, they haven't a clue. Till later in life, they start looking and they say bye-bye and they start. And Ariel's already saying pawpaw, and I'm telling you, she's so far ahead of all others her age, it's unbelievable. She's writing in cursive. I mean, she can burp her ABCs. I'm telling you, she is so smart. Praise the Lord. After a while, that baby realizes, I'm alive. And in churches, I'm afraid we strangle them with rules and regulations. And you got to do this, and you got to do that. And they don't even know they're alive yet. Are you with me tonight? And that's why I got to let them grow. Say what you want to say, but I can't choke them yet. They'll choke themselves. They'll let the world choke them. I don't need to choke them. What we don't understand, give me a few more minutes, you that's playing, give me a few more minutes. What we don't understand is we can't force feed people. When you force feed them, you choke them. Don't choke it. Don't choke them. Hallelujah. The Pharisees were choked by the word of God. They couldn't swallow it. They looked at it and they couldn't figure out. They saw Jesus in a cornfield and he's walking and he's eating and it's the Sabbath day and it's Pharisees and they're like, here, have some. And it's like the Sabbath. Oh my God, come see y'all. Look at him. Don't they have a rule against this? You can't heal anybody on the Sabbath. And Jesus looked at them and he said, have you not read that David himself and his men went in to where the priest was and partook of the shoe bread that only the priest was supposed to take of in their day of hunger? You see, they were more worried about the rule than the men. They were more worried about the law than the hunger. And the Lord is letting me know, I'm more worried about the men and the hunger than I am that stupid law. I only did that for the hardness of y'all's heart anyway. And so what he's trying to tell them, he said, look, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Y'all are getting choked by the laws. But he said, I want to tell you, man was not made for the Sabbath. but the Sabbath was made for man. The laws were not made for men. Men were made. The laws, we don't serve the law. The law serves us. Old Testament, serve the law. Serve the law. Eye for the eye. The tooth for the tooth. Thou shalt not. In the New Testament, honey, if you're doing that, you're back in the Old Testament. The law serves me. I remember my kids, when they got bicycles, you know, you got to watch them kids. They'll just keep on riding across the intersection and everything, you know. And I told them, look, you can ride here. When you get to that line, I draw a line down there at the end of the road. When you get to that line, you turn around, you come back. That was a law unto them, a rule unto them, but it was to serve them. It was to protect them. It was not to be hard on them. Now, what was not to strangle them or to constrain them? It was made to serve them. And so when we really look at the laws of Christ and the laws of God and the laws of the New Testament, it is not made to be a rule. Rules are given for those who don't want to obey it. But when you look at it and say, you know, that's good for me. You know, I probably shouldn't go there. I probably shouldn't do this. I probably ought to dress this way. I probably ought not to dress that away. Because it serves you. Because God knows where these things lead. Don't choke the word. Don't be choked. Don't choke out. I'm telling you, I can preach a sermon and people have tears many times and they never change. They never change. And people can repent, but they don't change. They're wanting to grow, but oh God, somehow you've got to get rid of the things that are keeping you from growing in God. So that when he comes back, you say, Master, here's what I did with what you gave me. I cared more for the things of God than I did the things of this world. And if you'll care for the things of God, he said, let every man care for the things of another man. When you begin to care about the things of God and the people of God, you'll grow. You will grow. You're caring about the wrong thing, somebody. Care about God and the things of God, and the fruit is automatic. You see, it's me that does the planting, you know, as a gardener. I do the planting. I do the hoeing. I can't make it bloom. I can't make it hold on. I can't make it swell and become sweet. But if I do my part, then I can say, Lord, I did my part. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Don't choke it. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the newing of your mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Just more of you. what I pray is, God, give me a bigger appetite. Give me a bigger appetite. Blessed are they that have an appetite, hunger, and they thirst after the right thing. You hear that? Righteousness, the right thing. For they shall be filled. Ooh, God, give me an appetite more to read your word. Wake me up, God, at 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it'd be trouble going on in life. I don't know, but give me an appetite to open the word and say, God, I need an answer. I don't know how you get them, but sometimes I go, God, I need an answer. And I put my finger and I read that scripture. And if it don't work, I turn over and read another one. I just read till I get an answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I got a hunger. David said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so does my soul after thee, O God. How thirsty are you? Woo! On the last day of the feast of the Passover, he said, he that hungereth, or he said, let him come unto me. Hallelujah. Woo! Give me an appetite, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings tonight. I do believe these people have